welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAreevy of the News Tribune. And before Kyle and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Kyle's conversation with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
Well, you've had a little extra time now to look back on the tape from last Friday. Does anything new stick out to you about the win?
Well, it was a good win, and we were looking solely for, and today even, I was looking back at the game just to see what we need to work on, what teams can hit us with, you know, where's our weaknesses. And I noticed that, you know, in coverage we were doing, it looked like actual coverage. we were going in our, you know, to our assignments and things of that nature, breaking up balls. Had our chance at a couple picks. We got one for a touchdown. So just offensively, just looking for, you know, blocking assignments, how fast our receivers getting off the ball, where they're getting off the ball, right foot, just those little things I was looking for in this game. And for the most part, we were doing it, but we still need work on a lot of those things.
I guess that kind of leads into, you know, with two games left, I feel like it's a good time to get kind of an evaluation or your evaluation. So we'll do kind of each side of the ball. Defensively, you mentioned the secondary looked a bit better against Sedalia. Where do you think your defense is at now versus where you think they need to be as districts get started in a couple weeks?
Well, and, you know, we can stop the run, and that's important. You know, with the teams that we played that's pretty formidable. I think we held them to some manageable yards to win games. Where we struggled was in coverage, and it's not ability. It's just assignment. We've blown assignments, and it's made it easy for teams to get big plays. Those big plays that we don't, you know, you can't give up if you want to win games. So we need to shore up some things like that. We need to shore up blocking assignments on offense, catch the ball, you know, as receivers. And throw the ball more. So give those guys more opportunities to catch balls. And so those are the things we're looking for.
And then, you know, it kind of got a little bit of an opportunity to open up the offense a bit more last week. So how much more development are you expecting within these next couple of weeks? Or do you think you're kind of, you know, at the development point that you want to be at as you get ready for playoffs?
We haven't, to be honest, we haven't even scratched the surface of what we were wanting to put in offensively. And it's kind of on us coaches, and it's kind of on you know our athletes, but mostly on us. We need to create higher standards, expectations for these guys to gather information so we can move forward with what we need to win. Actually, we need to put more things in our offense that we were, and it sounds crazy because we almost at the end here, but district, we need to be ready to add what we need to add to kind of give ourselves a little bit more diversity.
And then just, you know, coming in, you're hosting Truman this week. What's going to be the key to coming out with another W?
Just that, move forward with diversifying our offense and just making, you know, capitalizing on the plays that's ran. And so that's what we need to move forward. That's what we need to get better at these next 2 weeks, moving into districts.
All right, that was Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier. And Kyle, you know, it's always nice to finish the conference slate with a win, which is what the Cavaliers did last week. And it's always nice to do it in impressive fashion, which they also did, winning 48-21 against Smith Cotton.
Yeah, I mean, the offense looked to be pretty much back on track after that, you know, the three-game losing skid, second best scoring-wise production of the year.
Right.
And, yeah, they were running pretty free. They took a shot on the first offensive play of the game, which was fun. Forced a fumble on Smith Cotton's first play, recovered it, and then threw a 34-yard touchdown on one play. So that was a little bit of the development of the offense that we've been looking for. They only ended up throwing, I think, five total passes and completed two of them. So, you know, it wasn't a huge, a huge passing game development, but it didn't need to be.
I was going to say, when you're up that many scores, you probably don't, you dial it back quite a bit.
Yeah, and, you know, when you've got Jalen Thomas running for 30 yards a carry, I think he was 242 on, 16 carries.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's pretty decent.
Yeah, there's no reason to really open stuff up when you're jumping ahead with that.
Yeah, yeah. So that doesn't, that ends the conference slate for the Cavaliers. They're now 4-3 overall. They end at 3-3 in the CMAC, which is, I don't know what to make of that from the standpoint of, I think we had such high expectations coming off of last year's kind of surprise season. And then you kind of look at how the way things have kind of shaken out this year. You know, that might be just about right in some cases. You know, they've kind of had a couple 50-50 games that could have gone one way or another. So I don't know if you say, well, it could have been so much better. This might just be who they are this year.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely look at this season as, schedule-wise, six pretty winnable games, pretty easily winnable games, and then three games where it's going to be pretty tough.
Right.
In that middle stretch, yep. Right? And I mean, we've talked about it the last couple of weeks. They were in all of those three losses at a certain point in the second half. And then they played out how they played out. But I think, the numbers in the record probably don't look the way Capital City would want them, or kind of what we were expecting.
Right.
But I don't think they're in a bad place because of it.
Sure, sure. So now the focus turns to, we got two non-conference games to end the regular season, the first of which is tonight at home against Truman. Let's just be blunt, it's a Truman team that comes in struggling. I mean, they're, 1-6 on the season, and a lot of the scores have been fairly lopsided.
Yeah, and Capital City beat them 49-6 last year at Truman.
Right.
If it's a pretty similar team to what I saw last year, I'm not expecting a ton from Truman. They had their running back accounted for 210 of the team's 240 yards, so he's pretty good.
Right.
I mean, he was shifty. He was able to get a lot of yardage, but the rest of the team wasn't able to do a ton. And then defensively, they really weren't able to stop anything that the Cavaliers were doing last year. I would expect probably something pretty similar.
Yeah. And when I say that they're struggling, I'll just kind of lay it out for you. In week three, they got their one win of the season, 41-6. Otherwise, the losses have been close to start, 28-19, 20-14, but then comes kind of the ugly part of the schedule where they get beat 70-14, 45-7, 24-7, and then 49-0 last week. So it's almost like nothing's really working. The offense isn't scoring, the defense isn't stopping people from scoring.
Yeah, and if you don't want to do the math in your head there, that's 14 points in the last 3 weeks.
Right.
So offensively, not really expecting a ton. The numbers, when you look at them, aren't great. I mean, they like to pass the ball. It's not real efficient. I think they were completing under a third, or around a third of their total passes this year. It's a team that's been struggling for a little bit, as far as I know, and hasn't seemed to really gotten it together this year.
So I guess the one thing that I guess you can look at coming into this game, because if you're not necessarily expecting it to be super competitive from the Cavalier standpoint, you go, okay, why are we playing this game, or what can we get from this game? I guess the first thing that you maybe try to get from this game is maybe, like we talked, I think, earlier in the season and maybe even last week, this might be one of those kind of games where you open up the playbook and go, okay, if there was stuff that we wanted to try that we kind of haven't decided we wanted to try in some of these games that we were maybe closer or knew we had to play perfectly and didn't want to experiment, this is going to be the week for the offense to do that.
I know there's a couple of things that the Cavaliers want to incorporate. They wanted to start with them last week. They had a little offensive line mixing to do, so it kind of made it a little more awkward.
Okay.
But they should be kind of back to normal this week, so I would expect maybe a little bit of a difference, especially early on from the offense, maybe trying a couple of things out. Otherwise, you're going to give the ball to Jalen a handful of times. He's probably going to break a couple of big runs, and then you're going to be up, or assumedly be up enough at halftime, where the main point for the team, I think, that you get out of this game is not needing to play your starters the right. whole time, and sure. you can kind of get healthy
yeah.
as you move toward the end of the season.
Then much by the same token that the offense has some things that they can work on, I'm sure the defense can, you know, try to tweak some things or try to do some things that maybe it wants to do, or like you say, you know, if this team likes to throw the ball, that's going to be something. You'll probably run into somebody as we go along, mm-hmm. you know, into either, you know, next week or the postseason when, you know, no matter how long that run is for, you're going to have to run into somebody that probably likes to throw it around a bit. So this is going to be a chance for maybe your, you know, your cover guys to try to get some reps in against, you know, maybe some teams you haven't seen do a lot of that this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in the three-game losing streak, the issue defensively was in pass coverage okay. in all three of the games. I mean, even Jefferson City, you know, was under 100 passing yards, but it's a wing T. If they get close, that's a big passing game.
Sure.
Right? And I think they were right around 90. And then Rockbridge and Helias both kind of were able to move the ball at will through the air. The secondary looked a good bit better against Smith Cotton. They still piled up some passing yards, especially in the second half. But, you know, the coverages looked better. They looked to be... It looked to have a better understanding of where they were supposed to be and what they were supposed to be doing. And the defense got its first touchdown of the year with a pick six from Brooks Horton. You know, that was good to see. And yeah, this Truman team runs a pretty spread offense as far as I can tell. They like to throw the ball. And, you know, when you're going up against a team that is not super efficient at doing that, it gives your secondary a chance to really hone in and gain some confidence by seeing some success in that department.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, one of the things we always like to talk about as the season starts to wind down is just the overall health of things, and that because this is the time where if you do have two kind of winnable games coming up on the mm-hmm. schedule, that can be even more important if you have a lot of injuries. Now, I'll let you talk in a minute here about what injuries they do have, but this is one of those where you go, yeah, these may be games, you know, these last three, especially starting last week, where you go, if we got a chance to give a guy rest that needs rest to get rid of some of these, you know, nagging things, this is the time of year, the perfect stretch of the year to do it.
Absolutely. I think that's kind of the key that I was looking at for these final three games of the year, Sedalia, Truman, and Kirksville, where you get the opportunity, or should get the opportunity with all three of these games, to get a good amount of rest for some of your key guys. The main injury coming in this week is Philip Richardson. He's missed the last two games. Coach Collier said he's probably one more week out from returning. And then their other running back, or one of their other main three running backs, Nehemiah Hamilton, got banged up again last week. He should be able to play. He'll probably be limited. And then that's kind of the same thing with Marquez Galladay. He's been dealing with some stuff, but he'll be back, but probably also limited this week. Hopefully that's a limited situation where, you know, you're just up big enough, early enough, where you can say, all right, you guys are done, send in the backups, you know, we're good to go.
Right.
And not something where you're, you know, working rotational guys in important situations.
Right.
But otherwise, you know, there's a lot of kind of dings and bruises that have been building up, you know, and even Jalen Thomas was pretty... I think dinged up through a couple of games, especially in that downstretch after he took a pretty big hit in the Hickman game where he landed kind of awkwardly.
Okay.
And then the next couple of games, you know, he was held under 100 yards for the first time in his high school career.
Right.
In back-to-back games, right? And then you see last week he breaks out for 242. He looked a lot faster.
Right.
And I don't think that was a product of going against Sedalia. I think that was a product of him being back to kind of what he normally is health-wise.
Okay.
So that's another situation where, like, yeah, he played a little bit in the second half against Sedalia because they were trying to get, or he wanted to get to 300 yards when
yeah.
he was above 200 at halftime. Didn't quite get there. But, you know, this is probably going to be another case. He'll have a big first half, maybe see a little time in the second half, but not much, and then be out and ready to rest and, you know, start getting ready for Kirksville.
It's also natural with just two games left in the regular season to finally start maybe talking about the district standings. We don't like to get into it too early because mm-hmm. those things can fluctuate so wildly that there's not a lot of point to just devote a lot of time to it early in the season.
But we're to a point where they seem pretty...
Absolutely. And I think it's just because
with this district.
It looks kind of pretty intriguing from the standpoint of, you know, Hollis and Camdenton are 1-2 and they're, you know, kind of separated themselves from the rest of the pack. And Helias has got a decent enough lead against Camdenton. I think that they'll probably hold on to it.
Camdenton does play undefeated Lebanon tonight, but even if they were to lose that, it seems like their lead over Capital City in third is probably big enough.
I was going to say,
where that's not going to make a difference.
You've got Helias with 48 points and Camdenton with 44. Then you kind of get into the next two with, you got Cap City at 33.69 and North Point with 33.33. So those two are kind of intriguing. And then the bottom three and are all kind of intriguing as well from the standpoint of, you know, they're all in the 24 to 27 point range. And so you can kind of see where there might be room for fluctuation inside the district, but you're kind of looking at it going, it's just probably going to be a matter of who ends up being where and who gets to play what in the first round games.
Yeah, and with Capital City, you know, that 3-4 is close with North Point, but Capital City being in front, they're playing. Truman is a Class 6 team.
Right.
So you get the bonus points for playing up, and they should win by the maximum 13 or more, you know.
Right.
So that probably kind of locks up third for them if they finish off the job tonight.
Sure.
Almost no matter what happens against Kirksville, but that is also a team that's, you know, kind of down. So you can maybe write in these last two wins and say Capital City gets third, which then matches them up again with Battle for a district opener, like just like last year.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess that gets us to the prediction point, and I'll just say I know which way you're leaning. Just what's the final score going to be tonight?
Wait, you can tell which way I'm leaning?
I think I know who you're picking in this one.
Yeah, I'll say Capital City wins 42-13.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McArabia, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McArabia on Twitter at Kyle_McArabia, McArabia. Thanks for listening.